Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyo and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show here on UK Health Radio, the real feel-good radio. Childhood trauma has an impact on adults' relationships. Without the safety net of a secure attachment relationship, children grow up to become adults who struggle with feelings of low self-worth and challenges with emotional regulation. We discuss all about the impact of trauma on relationships, intimacy, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health with Juliet Caraman, coach, teacher, and writer on relationships, healing, sex, and intimacy, and Christine Borsnek, the co-founder of the Embodied Leadership Academy and the founder of Heart Samadhi. Hi, Juliet and Christine. Welcome to the Healthy Debate Show.
Hi, Andra. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Absolutely. Well, Juliet, welcome back, right?
Right. It was so much fun the other week.
You've been my guest previously and we had lots of fun. So today we talk about a topic that's that has a bit of, emotional weight, let's just say. We talk about trauma and we talk about the impact of trauma. But before we go into details and discuss more about this topic, I would like to ask you to just introduce yourself. Tell us a bit more about your professional background. And I know you and Christine are working together. So if you can just give us a bit of introduction into the work that you're doing together.
Absolutely. So we founded the Embodied Leadership Academy, which is really an academy that helps leaders, entrepreneurs, coaches, therapists rewrite the story of their trauma, then rewire their nervous system so that they can have access to sensuality and so they can have access to that life force that really runs through them. So that means that we have several courses that we run. At the moment, next month, we're running a course called Naked, The Bare Truth of You, that really goes into body issues, shame, trauma, the way that someone might have looked at you or might have touched you, and how we all have this on board and how it's actually holding us back from fully living our lives. Then we have a shorter course, which is called Feel, which is really learning how to feel sensations in the body again, because so many of us live discombobulated from our head and our body. Then our longer but really flagship offering is the Embodied Leadership Method, which is an 8-module video modules plus weekly coaching, which really helps people transform from being stuck in these ways where they can't help their clients or they can't help their team, to getting really clear on it, what the best ways are of helping themselves and helping them to their teams. And then, of course, we have a course called Erotica, which is really taps more into what are the blueprints of pleasure? What are your blueprints, how you can get into pleasure? We use erotic blueprints. We're both erotic blueprint coaches. And basically what we've both done is Christine has been a long-time somatic practitioner and has had years of trauma on board, helping people overcome trauma. I do more of the psychological side. So leave it to Christine.
Absolutely. Thank you. So for the past 23 years, I've been working with the body hands-on as a hands-on practitioner. And what I realized was there was something so much deeper than just massaging or doing body work in that way. And I recognized quite early on that when there is trauma present, it loads in the body. So the body really does bear the burden of the things that have happened to us in our lives. The neat thing about that is when it starts to lift, when the trauma starts to lift, the life force energy within us is, it becomes unbound and it wants to move. It wants to express itself. And so whether that's in creativity or sexuality and sensuality, whether it's through communicating differently, moving our body in a different way. And so much becomes alive when the activation of trauma starts to lift out of the system. So I've had the honor, the deep honor, to assist so many people in my practice to really unlock the burdens of childhood trauma, of adult trauma. So I'm really excited to be here, and thank you so much for having us here.
Absolutely. And I think that the work that both of you are doing is absolutely amazing. And I've told Juliet before, I think it's so brave to start talking about sexuality and intimacy in the way that both of you are doing it. Away from shame, away from judgment, and almost, if not, just normalizing our bodies, normalizing the idea of intimacy. And I had a great conversation last time with Juliet about how do we teach our children to understand, you know, themselves, intimacy. So I so look forward to just hearing more your thoughts on how do we lift the trauma? How do we release this energy? So I'm really pleased that Christine, you were able to join us, because I know that you're just visiting London. So I was very grateful that Juliet introduced you to the show.
Thank you.
So you mentioned, you both mentioned childhood trauma. Let's start with just the beginning. The reason why I'm asking what is childhood trauma is because we all seem to have almost different understandings of the terms. So let's clarify this right from the beginning. What would you say is childhood trauma?
So I think it goes back to explaining that trauma is something that happens to us and that was too fast, too quick for our psyche and our bodies to handle. Which means that almost everyone has had trauma. But not everyone is, say, stuck in a loop, in a fear, in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. But it's that shock to the system that something happened that we actually couldn't process at that time.
Yeah, that we couldn't digest. And the other big piece of it is that it separates us from community. So we start to feel other, and that is the real big problem when it comes to trauma. So aside from the physiological effects that happen to our body, you know, the heart rate changes and the tensions and the constrictions within the body change and blood pressure and all of those are, you know, the physiological effects, but the effects that it has within the psyche, as Juliet had mentioned, where it really does disconnect us, is such a detriment. And it really does affect so many of us.
Talking about childhood trauma, it just makes me think about some, you know, people around me, and I always give myself as an example. We go through life sometimes being fully aware of the traumatic event that has happened. Maybe we lost someone when we were very young. We didn't know how to process it. Maybe we were giving some news that we just didn't know how to emotionally deal with that. But what do we do in situations when we feel there's a problem with us? We can't just point it out. We maybe go, as I said, through life thinking that we had a perfect childhood, but then there's something missing there. What are some signs that are telling us we might need to seek some support in identifying if there was any trauma?
It's so beautiful because oftentimes childhood trauma doesn't surface until adulthood.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, that something just feels slightly off. And really slowing down to allow your body to give you the signals. It's like, hey, what's going on here? I was talking about this yesterday on a podcast where when my partner came behind me and kissed me on the back of my neck, my whole body froze. My mind just went offline, and it was like I was back when my uncle used to touch me inappropriately. I don't know, 5, 6. And it was like I was transported back to that moment. But of course, since I've done a lot of work, I was able to stay in it with him. he noticed my reaction. He's like, oh, what have I done wrong? And I'm like, no, no, stay with me, please. I'm having a moment. I need to just have you pause. Stay with me. Hold your hand there. I'm just remembering something.
Well, thank you very much, Juliet, for sharing this. It must, you know, probably with time, maybe things have changed. I'm just making assumptions, so forgive me. But I do very much appreciate your honesty, because some things are quite, you know, private. So thank you very much for saying this, and also for bringing forward the idea that maybe we shouldn't be scared when these flashbacks are coming back. And I think it's really beautiful and so you know, profound that you managed to recognize that something was happening, and that you ask him to just stay with you for a moment. So many of us find themselves in the similar situations, but we sometimes have a reaction that's not necessarily the best or in line with I would say what we should, if there's a should that has a place in this. And sometimes we might become angry, we might change our attitude, our behaviors, because, you know, it's hard to recognize that something as important as what you just mentioned has happened to us. So
and
again,
therapy is also beautiful, right? Because I shut things down for years. For over 20 years, I didn't remember any of this stuff. And it's only when you're ready for it that all of a sudden the psyche opens up a little bit more. And it's like, hey, it feels like, yes, you're doing some personal development, or you're seeing a therapist or a coach. Let's now delve into this a little bit more. And you must have this a lot, right, Christine?
Absolutely, certainly. So one of the things I want to preface is how you went through it, Juliet, is so beautiful. And for folks that haven't done as much work, to really kind of bookmark that there's nothing wrong or broken with us. So even though we have these sensations that come up, flashbacks, we have, let's say, low self-esteem or difficulty being within ourselves and in our body, there's nothing broken. There's nothing wrong. And so really allowing ourselves to stay in curiosity when these things come up, because that is going to be the lead in for compassion, for allowing ourselves to feel into some of the touchier bits of realizing what we've either been through, what we've potentially seen, what we've possibly heard. And really starting to come back into the safety of our own body and the safety of our own psyche. Because a lot of us will be dealing with low self-esteem or, you know, fears of being judged. You know, or the people pleasing. And so these are lodged within the psyche. They're lodged within the tissues and how someone is holding and carrying themselves. And so when they start to arise, when we start to really unearth these parts of ourselves, it is imperative that we stay in some kind of loving kindness and compassion towards ourselves, and remembering, always remembering, that no matter what it is we went through, we've survived.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, we survived it.
I think the hardest thing, because I've never been in a similar situation. So again, I'm just making assumptions. But I think the hardest thing for me would be the guilt. You know, the guilt, because you may think that, what if I would have reacted in a particular way? What if? Mm-hmm. What if? Mm-hmm. So I think it's part of the journey to figure out how do you get rid of the what if, and embracing, just embracing and what has happened. And I think, Christine, you had a great point when you discussed about when you mentioned kindness. Mm-hmm. Kindness, it just feels sometimes that such a tough word to digest. because we wouldn't be as harsh maybe with anyone else around us the way we can be with ourselves.
Right. And it's often the point of shame is beautiful that you brought that up, because both Christina and I have quite early trauma, childhood trauma on board, and a lot of sexual trauma on board as well. And the shame piece is so big, because we think somehow we must have done something wrong for this to have happened to us. And then, you know, so we feel broken. You know, like there's something wrong with us. And so people who've had trauma often define themselves as trauma survivors. But what we want to kind of say is, like, trauma is something that happens to you, but it doesn't define you. You know, it doesn't define the totality of who you are. You know, like Christine said, you survived it. You came out the other side. And then what is the gold nugget in that, right? How can you help others?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to circle back to something that feels really important and juicy to speak about, which is, you had mentioned guilt. And as well, Juliet, you had mentioned shame. And when we're little and we're not big enough to either fight or flight, you know, run away, we do go into this place of moving towards the people that are caring for us. And oftentimes it is those folks that were the people that were not safe, weren't the people that could help us through, because they were actually the people that were, you know, creating this chaotic environment for us to be in. So the conflict that our little system goes into to try and make sense of, I want to move towards my caregiver, although moving towards my caregiver might also bring about pain. And so I just want to normalize and bring some big love to this area, because for those of us that that are sitting with that as part of our reality, recognizing that it's normal to want to make sense of things when we're little. And so we would have wanted to move towards. And oftentimes that guilt and that shame is loaded deeply within the body.
And I also think the sense of confusion. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I wasn't sure if I should go there. When Juliet mentioned, you know, one of her like family members. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How do you deal with this as a child when, you know, the person who should protect you is maybe the person who is inflicting this this on you? And it can be quite a tough journey as an adult to recognize this and recognize the limitation of every single person that was involved in your upbringing. And including maybe your I wouldn't call them limitations at the time, because you're a child, but just the status quo, the fact that, you know, there was not much that I think someone that's in that position can do, especially at a very young age. I want us to continue our conversation and see how we can understand trauma. How can we maybe go through intimacy and our sexual life in our adulthood without the shame, without the guilt that some of us might have due to past traumas. So I would like us to just take a few minutes of break, and we'll listen to some valuable information from the station sponsors, and we'll be back shortly with Juliet and Christine.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Juliet and Christine, and today we're discussing childhood trauma, and more specifically, what's the impact on relationships, intimacy, sexual life. And before the break, we were having quite a deep conversation around childhood traumatic events, and I would like to continue the conversation by looking into why is trauma so damaging for us, and more specifically, what's happening if we don't have the courage to confront the trauma? What can be some of the the effects of that?
So I would put it slightly differently, and I would say, if you're in a relationship, first of all, relationships is the biggest way of growing, like really. The biggest catalyst for growth. And then oftentimes we'll run up against something, a way someone touched us, a memory that will then take us back so that we did have some trauma that we actually weren't aware of. So it's not so much like, do we not confront it or not, but mm-hmm. it's like, are we unaware of it?
Mm-hmm.
And do all of a sudden certain limiting beliefs come up, and then we follow that back, and then we're like, oh, it's because of this trauma or that trauma. It's because something happens to me which embedded that belief in me.
Mm-hmm. And I think another piece of it is to really highlight is how we're all here to connect. That's what we want. We want deep love, connection, to be seen, heard, felt, loved. And when we're not getting that, when we're feeling like we are missing that, that is oftentimes a little pinhole into, it's pointing to the potential that there was something that went on when we were young. And I think there is so much more conversation around being trauma-informed, or, even people talking about triggers has been so beautiful in relationship, because now people are able to say, oh, your eyes are starting to glaze over. Do we need to slow down? Oh, I noticed that you aren't moving anymore. Can we just pause? And so there's this beautiful shift I'm seeing, where people are starting to not just be, focused on self, but focused on the relationship, and really recognizing that, just by noticing a few things, is the person breathing? Is the person feeling present? Are they stiff like a board? Those are really good clues to just have things slow down, pause, check in. Juliet, you said before the break something very beautiful, which was you were able to pinpoint to your partner, pause, stay with me, don't leave, but I need you to pause. And I want to let our listeners know that we often don't have all that language on board mm-hmm. in the beginning. And so just having this conversation and starting to really pull this apart is amazing.
So do you think couples therapy, for example, can help someone separate themselves from trauma maybe faster than individual journey? Or is it maybe depending on the trauma, depending on the people involved?
Any kind of coaching or therapy will really help, because you have a professional with you who's most likely trauma-informed and who will be able to pinpoint it and to shift the direction slightly so that one is able to exponentially move through things much faster.
So let's start talking about intimacy. I'm very curious to understand from both of you, what is the impact on intimacy? By this I mean, can it be that someone who had a traumatic experience when they were very young, a sexual traumatic experience when they were very young, can they recover from this enough to have a healthy sexual or intimate relationship with someone?
100%. Absolutely, undoubtedly, 100%. When we're dealing with this kind of violation when we're young, the part that gets really impacted is the sense of safety.
Yes.
The sense of safety with self, the sense of safety of being in our own body, and then the sense of safety with another. So once we start to really come back to ourselves and feel safe, the whole world opens up to us. And then if we have a loving partner that is willing to hold space for us, willing to be in trigger and stay in curiosity without shame, oh man, there is absolutely beautiful intimacy and vulnerability that can come from that.
Completely. It's probably one of the most beautiful things to see our clients didn't know they had trauma on board and are having intimate problems, aren't having sex. And then by asking the right questions and noticing what's happening in their body, so following it through in their body, really showing how to shift that. And then often within very short amount of time, they come back and they're like, oh my God, it's like being on a second honeymoon again. Where might not be having penetrative sex, but you know, the curiosity, the enthusiasm about being with each other, about noticing what's going on, it's just delightful.
What you just mentioned makes me think about one thing: trust. How can we build that trust? It sounds like there's a need for an awful amount of devotion, almost loyalty towards each other. And I'm thinking that someone who has gone through traumatic events, trusting other people can be quite a challenging thing to achieve. So if some of our listeners are in that position when they've experienced trauma and they're trying to find their way to people's hearts and trusting them again, what would you advise them? What's the best path to take?
You know, acronym from Brené Brown comes to mind when we're talking about this with trust and how to really rebuild trust, which is braving. And so just to pluck a couple of those out, it really is non-judgment, really having non-judgment within the container of the relationship, where whatever comes up, it's okay, because neither person is broken, wrong, bad for who they are. And another one that I really like is generosity. And I always think of generosity of spirit, meaning if somebody, you know, if our partner comes up and touches us in a way that we don't completely like, to have a little bit of generosity. Oh, they're trying, you know, not jumping right onto somebody. And saying, you know, I told you never to do this. It's like, you know, having that navigation and that willingness to be in some repair with one another is really, really important. And I also really think that boundaries are important, you know, self boundaries of this is okay for me, this isn't okay for me right now.
And that's really learning about your own body. Learning about yourself. I mean, we all want to be held, heard, seen, and we want to be able to surrender, to trust someone so much that we can just surrender. So oftentimes what I one of the exercises I give my couples is like, have a conscious 15-minute slot per day where you connect. No phones, no children, nothing. But really connect to that other person. And it could start with something as simple as eye gazing. Yeah, set a timer for 2 minutes and just eye gaze and kind of like see what happens in your body when you see that other person taking you in and you taking the other person in. And then oftentimes what I'll do a communication skill with them, and it would be something like, tell me what you love about me. And then the other person tells the person what they love about them. And then person A says, thank you. And then the other person asks it. So it's back and front, back and front. And even 5 times the same prompt can bring such intimacy that people are like, oh, I really feel seen. Yes, I feel trustful now that I can actually tell you things. But it's having that conscious time. Because if you go up to your partner and he's in the middle of drafting a document, my partner is a lawyer, he's under time pressure. In the middle of drafting a document, I'm like, darling, blah, 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 blah. This is like, not now. And that might trigger me, and I'll be like, oh, yeah.
That's self-sabotage.
When I was young, no one had attention for me. And that's how you start noticing. It's like, oh, but make the proper time. Just say, hey, do you have 10 minutes? You have 15 minutes. I need that of your time.
So I'm glad you brought up some tools that can help our listeners. Is there a specific program? I know you mentioned quite a few at the beginning of the show, but is there a specific program that you are recommending to couples that you're currently, doing and registering people in that they can actually access in real time?
Yeah, we have a gorgeous course called Erotica,
mm-hmm.
and it really does allow everybody involved to find the framework of what their body is, how it's designed, because every single human has a different way of navigation erotically. And so within Erotica, we do all kinds of beautiful communication prompts. We touch into trauma, because if trauma is really at the forefront, that is going to be in the way of coming together in a really deep, loving, connected way and allowing us to be able to, dive deeply within our own eroticism. So that is the one that we have that is, it is stunning for couples as well as singles alike. And the other beautiful one that we have is Naked. They're bare truth of you, and that is coming home to yourself. It is learning how do you navigate this body, who are you, and we just have so much fun and playfulness within these courses. There's a lot of depth that we go into shadow work, we go into childhood. But there's also a lot of playfulness within it, because for those of us that have been traumatized, we all know that it can feel quite heavy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way.
It doesn't at all. And I would say if someone really feels very disconnected from their body, we have kind of like a micro course, which is 21 days of learning how to feel. What does feel even mean? And we give 15-minute exercises every day, or for 21 days, how to feel your body. So it's a 3-week program, and every day builds on the other. And at the end of it, the results that we've gotten from people that said, I was so completely disconnected from my body, and now I actually know what sensations are, what emotions I'm feeling, what is stuck in my body, what's moving, and how to move it through again.
So is Naked a program open to a group, or how do you work?
Yeah, NAKED is a program that will be running in the beginning of May. Sorry, mm-hmm. April already, not March. beginning of May. It is definitely a group program. So how we work at the moment is Christine and I only take groups through people. Takes groups through these processes. Mm-hmm. We do VIP one-on-one work as well. And I think the more accessible stuff is really our group programs. So most of those are on Facebook or are on, so we go into a special Facebook group, and there day by day we will have videos for you, prompts, worksheets, possibly an audio, homework, and that continues for an X amount of days.
That sounds really interesting. I will definitely check the NAKED program. That's why I was asking so many questions about it, because it sounds perfect. Really good. The second you said feel, that touched me deeply, because, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, we go through life with the speed of life, light sometimes, and we don't allow ourselves too much time to, or if any, to just pause for a second. Personally, I find it very hard to pause. I'm always busy with something. It just doesn't seem to be enough time to just connect with our body, with my body, with my mind, and even with others. So that's why I was just very curious about this program, which I will definitely check out. And if you are, just to very briefly summarize some of the benefits, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual benefits of going on any of your programs, what would those be?
Oh, deeper connection to self, understanding self, a much deeper connection to your partner. I mean, love has re-blossomed in at least five of my couples that I have, that I've coached. They've actually aborted their divorces and have come back to themselves. Better jobs, raises in salaries, people lose weight, people gain muscle. All these things that actually have you feel better about yourself. And you think, we're doing this work, and how can it affect my job, my finances, and my love, and everything else? But it's like, once we start really feeling better about who we are in the world, and once we start facing what has happened to us as children, and how we've worked through it, then everything starts to align.
Yeah, it's a shift, isn't it? It just changes the mindset, and it's about releasing that energy that I believe Christine mentioned right at the beginning of our conversation. So we will continue after the following commercial messages to discuss about trauma and about the power that we all have to overcome trauma, and how can Juliet and Christine help us move through these challenging times. So we'll be back in a few moments.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Christina and Juliet, and we're discussing childhood trauma, sexuality, intimacy, building relationships, creating fulfilled relationships. One question does come to my mind, based on previous experiences and conversations with some of my friends, that were somehow saying, sometimes you need to go through some hard times in order to grow emotionally. Would you say that sometimes in some situation trauma is necessary for someone to develop emotionally and spiritually? Does it have its benefits?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. When we come into this life, we come in with a nervous system that might be really big, meaning we have a lot of bounceability or resilience, ability to go through big stuff, and stuff really doesn't bother us. For other people, we come in and we have this little itty bitty bitty nervous system that doesn't have a lot of room to move, and so little things can be detrimental, can really affect us. So when we are going through the trials and tribulations of life, when things that come in to our lives are potentially hard or, you know, something that doesn't feel comfortable for us, it allows us to stretch. It allows us to go to the edges of who we are, to really dive in and see what we're made of. It stretches us to reach out to people we might not reach out to look within and see, wow, I'm shaky right there. I'm not competent in that area. So we might reach out to other people, or we might find a new resource within. And so within these times where things are not so, i.e. perfect, it is the time when we get to see what we're truly made of. And I always say with my clients, there will always be a golden nugget underneath hardship, whether it's learning to trust yourself more, realizing that your ability to read a room because you had to read what was happening in your environment to keep yourself safe has now become a superpower of reading what is happening in your environment, at your workplace, with your children, with your loved ones. There are so many gifts that come from what we would have thought of as the nemesis within our life. So yes, and I wish we didn't have to go through such tough times. And it does happen to us. It's part of our life. And there can be, and usually is, and in my perception, always is, a silver lining.
And there's one point that I wanted to just touch upon. So oftentimes we talked about childhood trauma having been inflicted upon us by a caregiver. And yet we love that caregiver so much. So there's a whole forgiveness process for ourselves, for whatever we may have done, and for the people that actually inflicted this trauma upon us. So once we can go through the forgiveness, that's when we really can get into congruency of who we are.
What would you say to someone who's struggling to take the leap and seek help? Was finding maybe the traumatic event so unbearable that they can't seek support. It seems like they can't seek support.
Yeah. To whoever's watching that is your story, my heart deeply goes out to you. And with that, I'm going to say, if we could think our way through trauma, we would have. Because let's face it, those of us that have went through really hard things have put hundreds of hours into trying to rectify, make sense of, you know, really come to terms with, did this happen? Didn't this happen? When in reality, what would be the most loving act is to be alongside somebody who is going to hold impeccable space with safety, with a slowness, and an integrity, tons of love, to be able to hold you so that you don't get wrapped up in that kind of that whirlwind that goes on in the head that trauma brings. Trauma loves to make us feel crazy. And so when we feel like that, to just really slow down and give ourselves the permission that it's time. It's time to be in support of somebody who loves us even though we feel tough things.
Juliet and Christine, we're at the end. And I have no idea when the time has gone, because I feel like we just scratched the surface, isn't it? But I'm very grateful for your honesty and for making time today to come and not just share your expertise as professionals, but also opening your heart and introduce us into your world and your challenges. I think that's very brave, and I'm very grateful for having the chance to speak to both of you today.
It was wonderful to be able to speak about this in such an open and honest manner.
Thank you so very much for having us here.
Well, I'm wishing you best of luck with your fantastic programs. I will definitely go online and check out all of them, and then why not choose some for myself. But you need to tell me where to go online. So just share with me, please, and with all of us, your links, your social media links and website, and where can we go and register for your programs.
So the embodiedleadership.academy.com is where you find most of our programs.
Mm-hmm.
Then Facebook or Instagram, my name is Juliet TTE Caraman. And then there's Christine Borschneck. If you follow us on Instagram or on Facebook, you will get to know about the programs. We do have an Instagram account of the Embodied Leadership Academy, but it's very small. We haven't posted much on it yet.
Well, thank you very much, Juliet, for sharing these details with us. Best of luck, and hope to speak to you very soon.
Thank you.
So much love.
Let's listen now to Pink with Family Portrait, a song about relationships and family, portraying the conflict through the eyes of Pink as a child. Until next time, may we hear only good things.
Don't have no choice, no way.